Thanks, Dominic, for the invitation and a nice introduction. I'm great pleasure to be here in person. Great. Today I'll be talking about our recent progresses on the symmetry and many-body topology mixed quantum states. And this talk will be based on these two papers. Firstly, let me introduce my outstanding collaborators. That's a very huge team. In particular, there are three local persons. Local person over here, here's Leo, and Ruo Chen, and Chong. And then Jen Bi from Penn State, Meng Cheng from Yale, Zhuxi Luo, and Carolyn Zhang from Harvard. Okay, first of all, let me introduce what the mixed quantum state is. It's basically discussed in the controllably open quantum system. For example, if we consider a quantum state under decoherence, and this system will be deformed to a mixed state. And then there is another example that in the quantum devices, we can prepare some non-trivial topological states by some measurement and feedbacks. For example, we can prepare non-abelian topological orders in trapped ion precisors. And all of this open quantum system, the quantum state should be described by a density matrix rather than a wave function. Actually, a density matrix is a convex sum of quantum states with a probability distribution. Okay. First of all, when we are talking about the quantum phase of matter, we have to firstly define the equivalence relation for this. For pure states, the equivalence relation is pretty easy to define that based on the local unitary operator. That is, if we say psi one and psi two are equivalents and in the same phase, if they are connected by a local unitary operator, that is psi one equals to u psi two. But the things become completely different for the mixed quantum states because in the mixed quantum state, the equivalence relation is defined based on the local quantum channel. And the local quantum channel can be described by three main steps. Once we have a mixed quantum state, rho is a density matrix. The first step is that we couple rho to an ancilla qubits in product state. And the second step is that we apply a local unitary operator in the enlarged Hilbert space. And the final step is that we trace out the ancilla. And equivalently, we deform the density matrix rho under a quantum channel epsilon. And based on that, we say two density matrices, rho one and rho two, are in the same phase if they are two-way connected based on local quantum channels. Why I said that the equivalence in the mixed state is completely different from the pure state, that in general, a local quantum channel is not reversible. So if we want to construct a two-way connection, we should find another quantum channel to deform the density matrix back to the original form. Great. After discussing the equivalence relation, let me further discuss the symmetry of the quantum state. You know, the global symmetry is pretty important when we're discussing the quantum phase of matter. For pure state, the symmetry is defined based on the unitary operator that if we say a wave function psi is symmetric on the group G, it means that for a symmetry operator UG, where G is an element of the group capital G, the psi is invariant under the symmetry operator up to a global phase. But the things become completely different for mixed quantum state in the sense that we have two major classes of symmetries. The first class is a strong symmetry, which is also called exact symmetry. In the sense that we can define a symmetry operator in one side, at one side of the density matrix, either left-hand side or right-hand side. And the density matrix keeps invariant up to a global phase. And the second class of this symmetry in the mixed states should be the weak symmetry, which is also called average symmetry. The average symmetry means that if we apply the symmetry operator in one side of the density matrix is no longer invariant. But If we apply the density matrix in both sides of the density matrix is actually invariant. So that's why I say the symmetry in mixed quantum states are completely different from the pure states. Great. For pure state, there is a very important class of phase of matter. It is called symmetry protected topological phase. That is a gapped ground state of a local Hamiltonian, which is unique. And the SPT state has short-range entanglements. And when we see SPT phase is non-trivial, in the sense that if and only if the protecting symmetry is unbroken. Otherwise, if we don't care about any global symmetry, the SPT phases will adiabatically connect to a product state. There are several representative examples where I think everybody knows that. In 1D system, that is Houdin chain. And in 3D system, there is most of familiar example is a free fermion topological insulator. Great. Here's the outline of my today's talk. There are three main parts. The first part, I will discuss the invertible mixed quantum state. And I will introduce what the invertible means in the mixed quantum state. That is our recent progress on average symmetry topological, symmetry protected topological phase. The average means here. Here means that the density matrix we discuss here should include the average symmetry. And we will describe the Dirac domain wall construction and classification of ASPT phases. And in particular, we find a large class of ASPT phases that is intrinsically mixed. It means that we cannot find an SPT wave function as its purification. Great. The second part of my today's talk is a non-invertible density matrix. In a sense, and in particular, we will discuss the strong to weak spontaneous symmetry breaking. The termination here means that the spontaneous symmetry breaking breaks a strong symmetry to a weak symmetry. Firstly, I will introduce the definitions of the strong to weak SSB and some fundamental properties such as stability and non-invertibility and et cetera. And finally, I will summarize my today's talk. Great.
Sorry, what does invertible and non-invertible mean to you?
Great question. I will tell you the definition in my talk. Sorry. Firstly, let's move to the invertible density matrix. That is average symmetry protected topological phases. Let's recall the SPT phases in the 1 plus 1D pure state. That is, the most simple example is a cluster state. The symmetry of cluster states is actually Z2 cross Z2. You can see here the local Hilbert space is that we have a qubit on each side. And the Z2 cross Z2 symmetry is defined on the even sides and the odd sides respectively. And the Hamiltonian of the cluster state is pretty simple, is that ZXZ term on each three sides, and we add them together towards a Hamiltonian. And the ground state of this Hamiltonian is pretty easy to prepare, that we apply a CZ gate on each nearest neighbor side, sites and on a trivial product state, and we can obtain the ground state of cluster state. Great. And the very important property of the cluster state is actually a symmetry localization. What did that mean? Well, if we consider a truncated symmetry operator, you know, the Z2 symmetry, a Z2 cross Z2 symmetry is actually a product of X on even sides or odd sides. Okay, so we consider a truncated symmetry operator on even sides, sorry. And the operator is truncated at 2m and 2n sides. And we can easily to justify that the truncated symmetry operator, when we apply the truncated symmetry operator on the ground state wave function, it will only affect on the boundary of the truncation. Great. So based on the symmetry localization, we can easily to define a string order parameter of the cluster state with this form. And by some simple calculation, we can conclude that the cluster state have long range string order in the sense that if we have this string order parameter and A and B are well separated, the expectation value of this string order parameter is of the order 1. Great. Actually, we can generalize the symmetry localization to generic SPT states in pure state. We can think about a generic truncated symmetry operator. And for a symmetric short-range entangled state, the symmetry is localized at the boundary of the truncations in this form. And it is easily to generalize to higher dimension. For example, in two dimension, we can consider membrane operator as the truncated operator of the symmetry. And we can also define the string order parameter for 1D SPT and a membrane operator in 2D SPT, etc. Great. Okay, after the review of pure state, let's move to mixed states. Let's first consider the simplest example, that is a cluster state under quantum channel, under decoherence. Let's recall the ground state of the cluster state. But as this time, I will apply the quantum channel epsilon z on even sites. You can see that the cross operator, cross form of this quantum channel is formulated like this. And you can easily to see that the z2 symmetry defined on the even site is broken to a weak symmetry. But because this quantum channel is independent with the odd sites, so the odd size z2 symmetry is still a strong symmetry or an exact symmetry. In particular, if we consider the strong decoherence limit, the explicit form of a density matrix can be explicitly formulated like this. It's pretty simple to check that. And for the decohered cluster state, we can also define a string operator by a truncated symmetry operator.
P equal to 1/2 is stronger decoherence than p equal to 1.
What the p equals to 1 mean? Because I think the most, yeah, the for example, p equals to 1/2 is actually a projection operator on the odd sites, that is ZXC, degree domain will form. But I think when p larger than 1/2 is some kind of non-physical.
P equal to 1 is simply you act with the unitary z.
Yeah.
On the even side. So it is symmetric to the p smaller than 1.
Yeah, that's right.
Like z rotation.
Yeah, that's right, I think so. Yeah, great. Thanks. May I go on? Great. So for even though the even side z2 symmetry has been broken to average symmetry, we can still define a string operator with this form. It's actually still a truncated symmetry operator together with two poly z on the near the truncation of the truncated symmetry operator. And we still have the formulation that if we consider O row O, it will obtain a row for arbitrary probability. Great. And let's generalize the above discussion to a generic case for density matrix. So let me introduce the average symmetry protected topological phases. The first important property for ASPT is that it is two-way connected to a product state if we don't care about any symmetry. That is, we have a quantum channel epsilon 1,2 that can deform a trivial product state to rho, and we can find another quantum channel epsilon 2,1. I reversed the arrow here. And the epsilon 2,1 can deform the quantum channel density matrix back to a product state. The second property is the invertibility that I can answer the what Yijian asked, the invertibility of the mixed state. That is, if we say rho is a symmetric invertible state, it means that there exists another symmetric density matrix rho tilde and a symmetric quantum channel epsilon, such that if we tensor rho and rho tilde together and go then through a symmetric quantum channel epsilon, it can be deformed back to a trivial product state. It's actually the definition of the invertibility. Great. And the symmetry localization is still well defined for ASPT density matrices. For you can also consider a truncated symmetry operator. The only difference things between the between the mixed states and pure state is that the action of the truncated symmetry operator should depend on the what the symmetry belongs to, which class. For example, if we consider the truncated symmetry operator of a strong symmetry, it can be well defined on a specific side of the density matrix. But if we consider average symmetry, the truncated symmetry operator is only well defined for both sides of the density matrix. Let's recall the string order parameter for a weak symmetry. We can only define the string order parameter of weak symmetry on both sides of the density matrix. That's it. That's the basic definition of average symmetry protected topological phases. Great.
Sorry. You want to say this? If you enforce that the channel is symmetric?
Here the channel is symmetric.
No, sorry.
For the first part?
For the first line, there are no constraints.
Yeah, there's no constraint.
But then you're saying if you enforce which symmetry, then that two-way thing breaks down?
Yeah, very good question. If we are considered this protection of the symmetry, and such that the two-way connection is break down, it means that these two phases are not equivalent with the symmetry. So, well, that's why we call it average symmetry protected topological phase.
Right, so which symmetry? What do you want to enforce, the strong one?
We should enforce both strong and weak symmetries. For example, if we consider this cluster state under decoherence, when we discuss the two-way connection to a trivial product state, we should enforce both a strong Z2 and weak Z2. If we don't care about any one of them, the cluster state under decoherence is actually two-way connected to a product state.
If you enforce only the strong symmetry,
mm-hmm.
What is the local channel that connects the two?
Local channel, let's connect to. I think we can consider it couple to the weak the degrees of freedom corresponding to weak symmetry and couple to it to ancilla and align them with the ancilla, and then we trace out the ancilla. And you can conclude that the obtained density matrix will no longer have any protected string operator like this, and it will be deformed to a actually the new string operator for the new state I've discussed before is actually without these two z tails. It's actually solely a truncated symmetry operator. And if the string operator of a density matrix has the form without any tail, I we see that as a trivial state.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So in the case of
pure states, like
mm-hmm.
the first condition actually implies a second condition, is that not true in this case?
A bigger part?
Is that in pure states, the first condition implies a second condition. Is that not true in this mixed state context?
Yeah, it's not mixed. I will discuss this in my second part. It's non-invertible quantum mixed state. And I will discuss the strong to weak spontaneous symmetry breaking.
So is that two-way? That is two-way connected to a product state?
Mm-hmm.
Non-invertible?
Oh, you mean once we know that it's two-way connected to a pure product state, it's actually invertible?
Yeah, is that the case?
I don't think so. We actually have some opposite examples. Great. So can I move on? Great. Okay. By the very interesting property of the symmetry localization, we can actually impose the decorative main wall constructions of the SPT wave functions and the ASPT density matrices. Let's recall the Dacre domain wave constructions of the pure SPT wave function. Here, each graph here is actually a specific symmetry breaking patterns of the G symmetry. Suppose we have two symmetry groups, K and G, and they may have some group extensions. And for each G symmetry breaking pattern, we decorate some lower dimensional K symmetric quantum states on their on the domain walls or domain wall junctions. For example, a domain wall as trivial orange strips and a green dots as domain wall junctions. The if we want to obtain a wave function that is both K and G symmetric, we should proliferate the G symmetry, because for each graph it's actually G symmetry breaking. The method we have to use is that we should quantum superpose all possible G configurations. And if we can do that, the final wave function is both K symmetric and G symmetric. Nevertheless, this procedure is not always well defined. There is some consistency conditions for the symmetry proliferation. The first symmetry consistency condition is that all decorated defects should be fully gapped. Otherwise, the wave function is gapless. And the second consistency condition is that local deformations of G defects does not change the charge of remaining symmetry. Otherwise, we cannot say any wave function that is symmetric of K under K symmetry, but we do not have a well-defined K charge. It's not possible. And the third consistency condition is that if we deform the G defects and go around and backward to its original form, it may acquire a Berry phase. But in order to enforce the single value condition of the wave function, the total Berry phase go around a circle should be canceled. That is a Berry phase consistency. Great. Then let's discuss the density matrix. The only difference, you may notice that the picture over here is quite similar to the last slides. Yeah, the only difference is that we just group all the decorated domain wall configurations together. It's actually the convex sum of them in terms of mathematics. There's a difference between the proliferation of a strong symmetry and the proliferation of a weak symmetry. Great. So after the proliferation of weak symmetry is still not always well defined there, but there is less consistency condition. The first consistency condition is also should also well defined, is that all defects should be fully gapped. And under the local deformation, the charge of the K symmetry, which is exact, should be well defined. But right now, I said we just convex sum different decorated domain wall patterns. So there is no well-defined Berry phase with respect to different decorated domain walls. So we should abandon the last condition.
So what do you mean by Berry phase? Because these are like discrete processes, right? So
good question. You can see that if we deform the first graph to the second graph, for the pure state, there might be some non-trivial relative phase between these two decorated domain wall configurations. It's actually f-move. If we move the GH, this connection, to the right-hand side, these two graphs representing two different wave functions may have some non-trivial relative quantum phases, or e to the I theta.
Right, well, I think I understand that, but I'm really just asking about the terminology. In what sense is it a Berry phase?
We call this phase is a Berry phase, actually.
Why?
If we can think the f-move as a deformation of the symmetry defect. I know it, I agree with you that it's a discrete symmetry, but you can still think that this f-move is actually a deformation of the symmetry defect. And the we call the relative phase between these defect networks are Berry phases.
actually I have problem understanding the first equation. I mean, like, this is supposed to be a state, but this tree means which state? I mean, like, for me, like, I have a lattice and then I have a symmetry.
A good question.
You are labeling this like.
You can see each blue part is a symmetry domain. For example, it's not working. I have to use this. For example, we consider this part and this part. They are actually two different symmetry domains, and they are differed by a G symmetry action. So actually, this graph is a bit abstract, but you are right. I think if you consider a lattice model, and if we have a lattice, we have a defect of some global symmetry. It actually can be treated as we have two parts of lattice, and this intersect is actually the symmetry defect.
I see.
Okay. Let's formulate above two graphs in terms of mathematics. Mm-hmm. And
so the reason you can remove the last condition is because you have Brad and Cat.
Yeah, exactly. We have Brad and Cats, so the non-trivial phase, just like I explained before, should be canceled.
Now we only consider weak symmetry.
The Decorate Domingue pattern is actually the pattern of the weak symmetry. The decoration should be the strong symmetry.
The decorated
states. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So that's why we should abandon the last Berry phase consistency.
So just make sure I understand this condition. This picture is describing a state in two spatial dimensions.
This graph is represent the two spatial dimensions, but this general picture, general paradigm can be applicable to any dimension.
Right. So let's say in two spatial dimensions.
Yeah.
So this defect information is like an F move.
Yeah. Great.
So then that phase would be possible like H3.
Yeah, chapter 3.
V1, but that is allowed, you know.
Yeah.
That's an SPT, right? That's not an anomalous. So that is allowed. I'm talking about the pure state case.
Yeah, I know.
So isn't it so the H3 is not a problem. It should be the H4 is a problem, right?
You mean obstruction?
Yeah.
Yeah. If the element you said before is H upper 3, G is average symmetry, it has a problem. But in H upper 4.
In the pure case, we just have a strong symmetry and it's a pure state.
Let me find a chart. You mean we have something like this?
Yeah.
Great. And.
That's the state associated with the F move, right?
Oh yeah, the F mode, the relative phase is actually F mode. But if you go around the pentagon equation,
okay, the obstruction is the pentagon, not the. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. If you consider a pentagon equation, it might acquire H upper 4 actually, and the obstruction means that this around will acquire a non-trivial H upper 4. That's right. But if we consider just a convex sum, the H upper 4 will be abandoned. We don't care about that. So. Yeah. Let me summarize our previous discussions, pictorial discussions by mathematics. We firstly have a exact symmetry K and average symmetry G, and they may have a non-trivial extension to a G tilde. And the ASPT is classified by the generalized group cohomology theory, and it computed by Atiyah-Hirzberg spectral sequence. Firstly, each decorated Domingue pattern is described by E2 page element of the AH spectral sequence. And different obstructions should be computed by the differentials. In particular for ASPT phases, there is no phase coherence means for average symmetry defect means that we should abandon the last layer of the obstruction function in the AH spectral sequence. Because as Dominic said, for example, the spatial dimension D equals 2, we should abandon the HR-per-4 obstructions because of this phase decoherence. Yeah. So you may note that we have identical elements that are E2 page spectral sequence, but we have less constraints. So you may ask, is there any new phase of matter appear? My answer is indeed. There is a large class of ASPT phases we call intrinsic ASPT phases. That is, we cannot have a SPT wave function as its purification.
Which are rigorous statements? Which are conjecture proposals?
Beg your pardon? Conjecture of my proposal?
Yeah, which part are rigorous? Which part is conjecture?
Oh, I think all of them are rigorous.
But initially, you define the phrases using the quantum channels and so on. Then you have this picture. This may be a form of translation of the picture into mathematics. But
yeah.
It doesn't mean this is the rigorous statement about previous definition.
I think it's actually very very well defined because we have a density matrix and we are talking about the symmetry localization and the decorative domain wall patterns. And actually, we can prove that with different, according to this decorative domain wall construction, different phase cannot be two-way connected by a symmetric quantum channel. We can prove that. So everything here is rigorous.
I said, how do you prove that?
For example, if we have if we consider a specific symmetry class K and G, okay, and we have some different decorations. For example, we have different decorations K on the decorative domain walls. For example, okay. So if we want to deform them together, we should deform the KSP, the deformation between different KSPTs on these junctions, for example. So if we enforce the exact K symmetry, we cannot deform this decoration to another decoration if the decorated state are different.
But how do you know different decorations give different states?
Because just like I stated before, if we consider let's consider a simplest example that we only have 1D decoration on the our orange strip, okay, and the two states are the KSP. The general paradigm means that the general construction is KSPD decorated on the K clean SPD decorated on the G domain walls, right? And if we consider psi 1, for example, on this, and psi 2 on the other construction, and if we try to deform them together, we have to break the K exact symmetry. You can imagine no matter what the quantum channel you want to propose, this quantum channel should be a K symmetry breaking.
I think it's convincing, but it doesn't sound completely rigorous.
Why?
I mean, I can sort of see how his argument will work in the average SPT case where you're just talking about ensemble.
Yeah.
Here you want to make a statement more generally about arbitrary mixed states, which are not necessarily like just ensembles of pure ensembles of pure states. Like,
you mean that we are talking about a specific basis? I don't think we have a specific basis because once we have a symmetry localization of a mixed state, we actually don't care about any symmetry because we can directly imply the decorative domain wall picture in the mixed state, and the decoration over here is actually in general can be some mixed state, which is strongly symmetric under K. Yeah.
Maybe I can ask another question. So
yeah.
Suppose I do numerical calculations.
Yeah.
and I have infinite power and infinite funding, what's the complete set of topological imbalance that allows me to pin down which mixed, which average SPT is?
You mean the topological invariant?
Yeah.
Yeah, the topological invariant are actually obstruction-free elements of the E2 page spectral sequence.
I only do numerical calculations. What does it mean? I just have a bunch of...
Oh, yeah. Before, as I mentioned before, if for example, let's discuss 1D, we can calculate the expectation values of the string order parameter.
But in higher dimensions, I suppose this is pretty hard to do.
Yeah, for higher dimension, for example, in 2D, we can calculate the membrane operator. It's actually another the 2D truncated symmetry operator. But I know it's pretty hard to calculate.
And do you think those... expectation values will uniquely determine which ASPT phase.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so.
Even in the pure states, I don't think that's known that you can diagnose all the SPTs just from membrane operators.
Mm-hmm.
So, not the pure states then can't be known for mixed states, right?
I think the membrane operator is also well defined for mixed state.
We can find a membrane operator. The question is, does the membrane operator contain all the information about the SPT?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. So, can I just go on?
So, what's the answer? You think there is a way to detect which SPT you're in somehow?
Yeah. We firstly apply. For example, we have two classes of symmetries. For a strong symmetry, it's quite similar to the pure state. For a weak symmetry, we have to apply the truncated symmetry operator on both sides of the density matrix. And when we apply this, let's discuss what the change of the density matrix. And according to the symmetry localization, the change is actually localized on the boundary of the membrane operator. And we can then define the true membrane operator based on the as the product of this truncated symmetry operator and the boundary operator on the truncation. And then we calculate the expectation value of the membrane operator.
Yeah. Even for pure states, I doubt that this will work in general, but anyway, maybe we can talk about it later.
Okay. So may I move on? Yeah, great, thank you. And for example, we have in 1D system, we have exact symmetry Z2, average symmetry Z2, and together we have a Z4 symmetry. According to the group cohomology classification, there is no clean SPT because H upper 2 Z4 U1 is actually vanished. And we can explicitly formulate the group symmetry operators of Z4 symmetry as actually UG and UK, and UG square equals to UK, so it's actually a Z4 symmetry group. Here we have the Hilbert space that we have a 1D lattice, and we have one qubit on each side and one qubit on each bound respectively, and then we apply the projection operator to a decorated domain wall subspace to this form, but after the projection of decorated domain wall, the Z4 symmetry operator in the projected subspace is actually an anomalous Z2 symmetry. Yeah, if you apply this projection to this symmetry operator, the symmetry operator will be deformed to an anomalous Z2 symmetry. It's actually the symmetry operator on the boundary state of the Levengood state in 2+1D.
So
okay.
Is this anomalous symmetry the exact one or the average one?
It's the average one. Here I use UG, so it's actually average one. Yeah, but right now we are talking about the pure state. So far we are talking about pure state. So just like I highlight here, under the projection, the Z4 symmetry will be projected to an anomalous Z2 symmetry. That is, by enforcing the decorative domain wall pattern, there is an emergent anomaly for the pure state. So how to capture this emergent anomaly? We should add a gapless Hamiltonian in the lower dimensional subspace. That is a lattice model of 1 plus 1D, edge state of a 2 plus 1D Levengood state. Great. So right now, the Hamiltonian over here is the well-known gapless SPT, right? So to construct an ASPT density matrix, we should use some decoherence quantum channel to destroy the algebraic correlation function of the it's actually a conformal field theory. We should use some decoherence to destroy the algebraic correlation function of this CFT. Fortunately, we find these two quantum channels that can completely destroy the algebraic correlations. And we conclude that if we have a 1D Z4 gapless SPT with decoherence, we can actually prepare a Z4 intrinsic ASPT states. Great.
Is it connected the other way? Like, is there a local channel that turns the ASPT back into the gapless pure state?
You mean, I don't think so. If we care about the symmetry, I don't think we can have the other way.
Why not? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, because if we have another way, we should find some quantum channel to restore the algebraic correlation function.
Yeah, okay.
It's not possible in finite depth. Right. Okay. After the discussion of the first part, let me move to the second part of my today's talk. Is actually a non-invertible density matrices. And in particular, let me talk about the Strunk-Weick spontaneous symmetry breaking. Great. As I talked before, I said a word, symmetry localization, several times. So, but it's not always well-defined. Let's consider this particular density matrix. Here I will acknowledge Yi Jian to point out this particular density matrix for when we are updating our last paper. Great. Let's consider a 1D qubit chain with a strong Z2 symmetry as a product of X. And we consider a density matrix that is a 1 plus product of X. It's actually the convex sum of the quantum state that has an even charge in the charge sector. It's actually a maximally mixed state in the even charge sector. Great. There is some basic properties of this density matrix that this density matrix has a symmetric Schrödinger entangled purification that, for example, it can be purified to a 1D cluster chain by coupled to Ancilla. Because you may think about if we consider a cluster chain and trace out the even sides, the remaining density matrix on all sides is actually this density matrix. And the second property is that if we apply a truncated symmetry operator, it's actually not localizable. For example, if we apply this truncated symmetry operator and apply to this, it's no longer 1 plus x. Yeah. And the third property is that rho is locally indistinguishable with a maximally mixed state without a fixing of a charge sector.
Sorry. If I apply that x to that rho, what does it change?
Here, the x, the truncated symmetry operator is a product of x in a finite regime. So in a finite regime, for example, if you consider a product of x with 1 in a finite regime, it's actually the truncated symmetry operator. And if you consider truncated x times a total x, it's actually something like, you can see here, x dot 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 x 1. 1, dot, 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 1, x, x, dot, 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 x. It's not actually a product of x. If you apply a truncated x in this region.
By applying, do you mean applying from one?
One side, because it's strong symmetry.
I see.
OK. If you consider weak symmetry, all the things I discussed here will break down. And then the rho is actually locally indistinguishable from rho prime. Rho prime is maximally mixed state, but we do not fix a charge sector. And for rho prime, X is actually a weak symmetry. But you can justify that we cannot distinguish rho and rho prime by any local operator. So maybe you may see that rho maybe resemble a.
You cannot distinguish them because their local density matrix are the same.
Bigger part?
Because their local density matrix are the same.
Yeah, locally they are same. If you trace one single qubit, they are exactly the same. Yeah.
If you trace even n minus one qubit, they'll be still the same, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's recall the spontaneous symmetry breaking in the pure state. Let me still introduce the simplest example. That is, we still have 1D qubit chains, and it's strong Z2 symmetry as a product of X. Let's consider a cast state. Okay, and psi plus minus. Yeah. Firstly, you may see that the psi plus and psi minus are locally indistinguishable, in the sense that for any local observable, they have identical expectation value. And secondly, psi plus minus is actually have long range order for charged operator Z. You know, the poly Z operator is actually the charged operator of the strong Z2 symmetry. And psi plus minus is non-invertible. Great. Okay, let's come back to this density matrix. We actually have a strong to weak SSB. Why I see that? Firstly, if we calculate any local operator in 1D, for example, a ZZ correlation function with respect to rho, it's actually zero. It's actually vanishing. But if we consider a Rényi 2 correlation function, it's actually of the order 1. Even X, I and J are well separated. So it's actually actually means that we have a spontaneous symmetry breaking that breaks the strong Z2 symmetry to a weak Z2 symmetry. Let me emphasize why that. Great. If we consider a double state, it will be mapped to an ordinary correlation function of the double state Zi upper, Zj upper. Upper means upper Hilbert space. And Zi lower, Zj lower, rho, with the normalization of the double state. Great. So it's actually, you can easily to see that in the double state, it is actually the order parameter that the symmetry breaking of Z2 cross Z2 double symmetry to its diagonal part. Yeah. You know that if we map to a strong symmetry Z2 to a double space, it will actually be a double symmetry because Z2 is individually well-defined in upper Hilbert space and lower Hilbert space. And this correlation function is exactly the order parameter of this spontaneous symmetry breaking breaks Z2 cross Z2 to its diagonal subgroup. So that's why I say this density matrix has a strong to weak SSB. Great. Let me emphasize some basic properties of strong to weak SSB. If we care about the symmetry, it's actually one way connected to a product state. That is, we can easily to prepare this density matrix, symmetrically prepare this density matrix from a product state. It is very easy. But we cannot find any symmetric quantum channel that bring a rho back to a previous product state. It's not possible. And if we consider any local operator and calculate its ordinary correlation function, it's actually short-range correlated. Any traditional correlation function with respect to rho is zero. But if you consider Rényi 2 correlation function of the charge operator, for example, we consider poly Z for the Ising symmetry as before, it's actually have a long range correlation function. Even X and Y are well separated.
So are these all proved?
Bigger part?
Statements all proved?
Yeah, yes.
So the definition of strong to weak SSB is just that it has no strong symmetry, but it has weak symmetry?
It's actually our definition of strong to weak SSB.
So is that one?
Yeah, it's one definition. And the other definition is based on the fidelity of density matrices.
So rho does have a strong symmetry.
Yeah, rho does have a strong symmetry, yeah. But we should consider a strongly symmetric rho, yeah. Yes?
The second line, do we need O to be charged?
No, it can be charge neutral. Any local operator is okay. Great.
So,
yes.
In the case of your case of spontaneous integrating, you can think of it in terms of these cat states, but
yeah.
You can also say that there's short entangled states that are simply breaking to different bases. So is there something like that here?
Yeah. By choosing some different state, different bases, in X bases, it's actually a convex sum of shorter entangled states. But if we choose Z bases, it's actually a convex sum of different cat states.
Maybe I wasn't asking about X versus Z bases. I was just saying, is it the case that this rho can be written as a mixture of two states that are symmetry breaking, but are like more short range correlated?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. With some basic properties of strong to weak SSB, we actually have some considerations that you may see that this Rinne-II correlation function actually measures the difference between rho and sigma defined as O X O Y Dagger, rho O X Dagger O Y are indistinguishable if the Rinne-II correlation function is of the order 1.
Sorry, I don't think this statement is correct.
What?
First, if it's order 1, it's not 1, then, right? Like, if it's just order 1, it's just...
Maybe another statement is more proper. Well, this measure is actually measure the difference between rho and sigma.
Yeah, it's the Rinne-II measure.
Measure of the difference between these two.
Sigma, but since your dimensionality diverges, does not imply any bound on the trace distance between rho and sigma. They could be very far away in terms of trace distance.
So. That's why if we consider Rinne version, we should divide the purity of the density.
Even if you do that, it's not guaranteed that.
Yeah. So that's why we should have another definition, which is we think is more proper.
Oh.
We have another. So far, we just have based on your example, we just did some basic calculations and gained some insights based on that. But as you mentioned before, actually the trace distance is some equivalent to the fidelity.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the most proper definition of strong to weak SSB is actually the fidelity of rho and sigma. Yeah, as you said, Rinne-II is some kind of uncontrol,
yeah.
In terms of in terms of trace distance, because it can be arbitrarily small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the error above actually is.
Yeah. So we just calculate Rinne-II correlation function to gain some insights, because the Rinne-II correlation function is actually the ordinary correlation function in a double space. It's the most easy thing to calculate. But recently we recognized that. Subsequently, the most proper definition is based on the fidelity. It's actual true measurement of the similarity between rho and sigma. Great. So our formal definition is that it makes a state with a strong symmetry G has a strong to weak SSB if rho and if the fidelity of rho and sigma is of the order 1. I think, Yijian, maybe you agree that it's a more proper definition.
Yeah, but what's the relation between the two definitions?
This definition is, this actually some, you may, you can see that if you Rinne, consider Rinne-II fidelity, it's recover this.
Logically, Rinne-II, the fidelity has nothing to do with the with the usual fidelity.
Yeah, that's right. So So they are different. They are the same only in the extreme case, just like you pointed the example you pointed. If you for the extreme case, they're both Rennie 2 correlator and the fidelity is of the order 1. It's actually equals to 1 for this case.
Yeah, sure.
But for some intermediate case I will introduce later, there is actually a difference between the fidelity and the Rennie 2 correlator. And we think fidelity is actually the most proper measure of this speed.
Okay.
Strong weak assets.
So one does not imply another, the other also.
Yeah, well, one on the, actually this imply this, but this not imply this.
Wait.
Let me introduce later.
Okay.
Great.
Bye. You probably only have about 5 minutes left.
Oh, let me accelerate. Sorry. Maybe a little bit too many questions. Let me consider the Ising model on the decoherence in 2D. Okay, the decoherence channel is over ZZ channel. The ZZ channel here is actually symmetric. You may see that. Strongly symmetric. And we use a replica trick to calculate the fidelity. And we conclude that for replicated fidelity is actually the expectation value of this two-dimensional classical model. And and in the limit replica limit that m and n equals 1/2 is actually the true definition of fidelity, is actually the correlation function of random bound Ising model. It is very easy to justify that. So for this model we actually have a transition between in this regime it's a symmetric state, and in this regime. It's actually a strong to weak SSB regime because according to fidelity in this regime the fidelity between rho and sigma is vanishing, and in this regime the fidelity between rho and sigma is actually of the order 1. Great, it's a transition. But Yijian, let me ask your question. For example, if you consider Rennie 2 correlation function, transition point is actually belongs to the universality class of classical Ising model. And the transition point is not the same. So the intermediate regime means that we have a finite fidelity, but we have a vanishing Rennie 2 correlation function. So maybe I have answered your question. Great. So after some basic definitions of strong to weak SSB, let me discuss the stability of the strong to weak SSB. It means that if rho has a strong to weak SSB, and we have a strongly symmetric finite depth quantum channel epsilon, then epsilon rho also has strong to weak SSB. And the when we want to prove this, we should utilize the monotonicity of the fidelity under symmetric quantum channel. And it means that we can find a quantum channel that tune a point. You may see this phase diagram of the last example in last slide. And on a quantum channel, you can find a quantum channel that tune this point to this point, but you cannot find any symmetric quantum channel that tune a point from right-hand side to left-hand side. And it means that you cannot find a symmetric quantum channel to tune a transition backwards. It's not possible. Forward is okay, backwards is not okay. It's a one-way property of strong to weak SSB. Yeah. The second property is a symmetric non-invertibility. And we mean that a state with strong to weak SSB is not symmetrically invertible. Yeah, the proof is simple that we suppose the contrary. We suppose there is there are strongly symmetric density matrix, rho tilde, and quantum channel epsilon. And we can obtain that a trivial product state will have a non-trivial of the order 1 fidelity. So that leads to a contradiction. It's not possible. So a state with strong to weak SSB is symmetrically non-invertible. But if we don't care about any symmetry, this density matrix is actually invertible. But if we care about symmetry, it's actually non-invertible. So that's why we say that this property is symmetric non-invertibility. Great. And the local indistinguishability, that if we consider rho is a density matrix with strong to weak SSB, and the O here is a charge operator, without loss of generality, we suppose O is a unitary operator. And we can see that rho and rho tilde are completely different. And we can see that any local observable cannot distinguish rho and rho tilde. Yeah, that's recover. That is an analog of the local indistinguishability of SSB in pure state. For the mixed state, the strong to weak SSB also has a local indistinguishability property. Great. And the last property is the local detectability. OK, we consider the convex sum of rho and rho tilde, as mentioned before. And with this explicit form, you can see that the strong symmetry has been explicitly broken to a weak symmetry. But this explicit symmetry breaking may not be detectable. Let's recall the pure state. We consider a trivial product state in pure state and the OX as a charged operator. And we can see that if we construct a rho plus according to the previous paradigm based on this product state, we know that the rho, we have an explicit symmetry breaking of rho plus, but we cannot detect it by any local operator. But if rho density matrix rho has a strong to weak SSB, then the symmetry explicit symmetry breaking of rho plus by this convex sum is detectable according to the fidelity. It's a simple calculation. Yeah. Great. Okay, let me summarize my today's talk. In the first part, for symmetrically invertible mixed state, we systematically construct and classify average SPT phases with intrinsically mixed state SPT states. That is, we cannot find a SPT wave function as its purification. And the second part, I introduced the symmetrically non-invertible mixed states. We introduce a new concepts of strong to weak spontaneous symmetry breaking with several important properties, including the stability under symmetric finite depth quantum channels, this symmetric non-invertibility, the local indistinguishability and detectability. Great. There are several open questions. Open question one is that, what about the strong to weak SSB of higher form symmetry? You know that, suppose we consider a very familiar example, that is a toric code model under decoherence. Actually, the decoding transition is measured by the difference between the density matrices rho and rho alpha. And the rho alpha is constructed by the disorder parameter of one form Z2. So our conjecture is that the decodability transition of topological order may be the transition between a true strong to true spontaneous symmetry breaking of higher form symmetry, the true, sorry.
I think I missed something basic. How do you define a strong higher form symmetry versus a weak higher form symmetry?
You know the symmetry generator of strong higher form symmetry, for example, one form symmetry for a toric code is actually some Wilson loop, closed Wilson loops. And the just like global symmetry I discussed before, the strong symmetry that is we can apply the Wilson loop on one side. And weak symmetry, we should define the Wilson loops on both sides. That is the definition of higher form symmetry.
Doesn't the higher form symmetry only exist in the ground state subspace anyway?
If we decohere, I agree with you. But if we decohere, this is we add some decoherence. We do not have no longer have a Hamiltonian, so we have to define discuss the symmetry of the density matrix solely. So we should apply the Wilson loop operator in terms of strong symmetry and weak symmetry. So our conjecture is that a decodability transition of topological order is actually the first between these two phases. The first phase is true SSB of higher form symmetry. It means that a strong higher form symmetry break to nothing, and the strong to weak SSB for higher form symmetry. And the mostly, if we consider a topological order under a single bit flipping channel, we can think about Cramer's one-year duality to engage the Z2 gauge, the one form symmetry back. And it's actually the example I discussed before is identically with the 2D quantum icing model under ZZ quantum channel. Great. Another open question is maybe generalize the Mermin-Wagner theorem that we also consider a Ising model under decoherence. In 1D, by some simple calculation, that the strong to weak SSB can only happen in the decoherence limit of p equals to 1/2. It's fine-tuned phase. But for 2D or higher D, there is a finite PC transition between symmetric state and the strong to weak SSB state. Let's recall the Mermin-Wagner theorem. For 1D, there is no spontaneous symmetry breaking of finite temperature, but in higher deformation, it's okay. So our generalized conjecture on generalized Mermin-Wagner theorem for strong to weak SSB is that for 1D, we cannot find any other transition between symmetric state and the strong to weak SSB other than this point, but in higher dimension, we can find another finite PC. So, great. That's all my today's talk. Thanks for your attention. Hey, yes.
Can you go back to the local indistinguishability slide?
This one?
So here we need O to be a unitary. What if we do local measurements? Can you say anything about that?
Oh, yeah.
SSB and then I measure some local degree of freedom somewhere.
Oh, that's a very good question. I think the local measurement, if you break some symmetry, everything will be break down. Depends on the symmetry of your measurement, I think.
But what if it's symmetric?
If you measure measurement all some degrees of freedom?
If I measure, for example, for the case of 1 plus product of x,
yeah.
If I measure x, then...
You take x measurement.
Point, yeah, like x.
Let me think about that. If we measure, for example, we do a single qubit measurement x and determine what the x equals to minus 1 or plus 1 on one side and left.
Yeah, that does nothing.
Nothing because it's commute. But if you do z measurement, z measurement explicitly breaks the strong symmetry. So, yeah.
Right. Let's say if you have some, for example, non-abelian symmetry, and then if you do a local measurement that is symmetric, then it's not necessarily commuting with the whole symmetry that you have. So then...
I think it still depends on if the measurement is symmetric, and no matter abelian or non-abelian. I think the symmetry is the sole criteria.
Okay, let's discuss it.
Yeah, okay, great. Any questions?
Just let me make a quick question, like in the random bound Ising model example.
Yeah.
Is it on the Ishimori line or not?
Yeah, on the Ishimori line. Yeah, great. So any other questions?
Well, I wanted to ask maybe almost ended, but I mean, I'm always thinking about training integration kind of training. So
Oh, you mean Gibbs state? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think if we, for example, if we have an Ising model, if we thermalize the state and we fix the charge sector, in the high temperature limit, it's actually a strong to weak SSB for the Gibbs state.
Is no physical reason to
take it? It's just some consideration, but for physical reason, I don't know. But I think the Gibbs state is the problem we are currently discussing. Yeah, the thermalization problem, where we still have some open questions in our minds. But yeah, if you don't fix any charge sector, there is no strong to weak SSB.
In the user response thing, it seems to be breaking the case. If you don't fix that you have to be in an eigenstate of asymmetry, then you could just have the, like, you know, in the Eisen model, you can have the up and down states, which are, there's no long range anything. But it's still spontaneous symmetry breaking, because, like, the fact that you have to choose these short range entangled states to be symmetry breaking is a manifestation of spontaneous symmetry breaking. So you can view it either that way or view it in the language where you fix the charge sector and then you get long range entangled states. So I feel like there should be some similar statement here.
Well, it's actually an open question, but I think so. I think you are right. Intuitively, I think your statement is right. But we need more proof about that. Thanks.
Anybody else?
Any questions?
Sorry,
I delayed the time. Sorry about that.